Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
And of course, this is once again Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III. Great to be with you again today, and happy to substitute for that great young man. And let's have a great discussion today about some very, very important matters and make Abraham Hamilton III proud of how this program has gone while I'm sitting behind his microphone, so to speak. First of all, I want to say for those of you who did take advantage of the complimentary tickets made available through the generosity of American Family Radio and American Family Association at the Stand Awards dinner, we're looking forward to seeing you there. We do have just a few left and very little time. So once again, if you are interested in trying to get to our dinner, you're, say, listening to me right now, and you're in somewhere near Northern Virginia, or that's accessible to you, it's going to be at the Tysons Corner Marriott in Tysons, Virginia, and you'd like to come, there are complimentary tickets available to you because of the generosity of American Family Radio and American Family Association. So, this is probably the last opportunity I'll have. I didn't think I'd have this opportunity, but this is probably the last opportunity I will have to offer these, although I expect to be on with you tomorrow night. I don't think there'll be any left, but there are some left right now, and I would say grab them if you can. Email us at awardsdinner@standinc.net, awardsdinner@standinc.net, or call us at 757-375-6444. It's after hours, so leave a message if you call, 757-375-6444. Also want to mention again, I think I did last night mention this, but I do want to mention it again. I am launching officially on July 4th, but unofficially, it actually begins on June the 18th. I'll be speaking at Nutramax Company, and then on June the 19th, I'll be speaking at Joy Church in Matthews, North Carolina, for the kickoff, really, of the Truth Tour. And I'm really excited about this. This is in celebration of the 250th anniversary of our beloved country. And the Truth Tour is subtitled Untold Facts About American History, or Facts About American History You Were Never Taught. Because what we've learned about American history, sadly, has been a polemic against our country. And the reason why so many people who are American citizens have a hatred and bitterness and resentment for our country is that they were taught lies about our history. They were taught to hate our country because they want to use them for the nefarious purposes of the left-wing movement to somehow fundamentally transform or overthrow our constitutional republic. And I want to set the record straight. I don't call myself a historian. Maybe before I go to heaven, maybe I will be an historian. Who knows? But I'm a student of history, that's for sure. And the more I learn about history, the more grateful I am for this country and its exceptional nature and the impact, the positive impact that we have had on the entire world. This narrative that pretends somehow that the world was just a great place and along came America and messed it all up. If it weren't taught so broadly and so widely, it would just be silly. You just have to laugh it off. But sadly, it has been inculcated into the minds and hearts of so many of our people. I really believe that's why we have such this political division. Because those of us who understand who we are as a country, those of us who understand what the fundamental values of our country are, individual liberty, personal responsibility, love of family, love of God, and of faith, family, freedom. We continue to be grateful to God, even though we know our country is not perfect and there are things about it that we know need to be changed. But we are not interested in changing the fundamental nature of this country as a constitutional republic, we know that that's its blessing, not its curse. But there are people who really believe that the present structure of the country is indeed a curse and that there's something fundamentally wrong with it and it needs to be fundamentally transformed. America does not need fundamental transformation. What America needs is to return to the fundamentals. That's what we need. And so the Truth Tour is intended to set the record straight about American history. And if I start into it, I'll take the whole hour talking about that because there's a lot to talk about. I'll certainly be debunking the major myths, the big lies about America. A big lie, number one, America was built on slavery. The 1619 Project has even gone so far to say America was founded for slavery, founded to perpetuate slavery. I mean, these are lies out of the pit of hell. They are contemptible, disgusting, just fantastic lies. They really are. I mean, they're not even worthy of debate because it's so far off that you just think, what is the purpose of saying something like that? Well, the purpose is to convince people that America is not legitimate and that America should be discredited and that America should be transformed. That's really what the purpose of it is. If it's wrong from its inception, then you can't just make minor reforms. You've got to have a revolution, so to speak. And that's what that's all about. And we stole the land from the Indians. That's another preposterous lie. These things are so... These people have no understanding of history. They have no understanding of America. They have no understanding of what the early settlers faced in coming to this continent or how that whole situation unfolded. None whatsoever. All they have is the polemic. White man bad, everybody else good. And that's it. I mean, bottom line. So I guess, you know, the liberals who happen to be Americans of European ancestry, I guess their claim to fame is that, but we're different. We're not like all those other bad white people. You know what I mean? Folks, again, if this stuff were not so poisonous and so pernicious, You'd really have to just laugh it off and say, I mean, it's just silly. The Bible makes clear there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The problem is not race, and it never has been. The problem is the fallenness of man. The problem is the sinfulness of the human heart. That's the issue, and it has absolutely no racial or ethnic quality to it. It is universal. And there's only one way out of that trouble. And it's not by somehow trying to change or transform your race. You know, like these people who they want to change their race. They want to, I identify as black, as if that's going to somehow fundamentally alter their life. Well, the reality is the same sin you were, whatever race you identify with in the first place, you're going to carry with you to whatever the next race is you claim, which again is just such silliness. The fact of the matter is the only antidote to what ails us is Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He is the only antidote to what ails us. Our problem is not racial. Our problem is righteousness. We need more of it, and we need to be rid of wickedness. And he's the only one who can deliver us out of wickedness into righteousness. For he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, there is the answer. But, you know, the secularists, the atheists, the agnostics, the believers in all kinds of pagan nonsense, they think they have the answers, when in fact Jesus is the answer. So the Truth Tour is going to help people understand American history. And frankly, I am coming from a biblical worldview, looking at these things through a biblical lens, not through a racial lens or an ideological lens, but a biblical lens, and therefore willing to confront the truth. So look, we haven't been a perfect country, and anybody who would argue that would just be lying to themselves and to other people. We know that. That's not the issue, is it? The issue is where America stands and how America compares to all the other nations of the world. In other words, how we compare to any other place one might live. And when you look at it through that lens, there is no better place on earth. And with whatever mistakes we've made as a nation, I'll put our history up against the history of any other nation in the world. We have been one of the few nations on earth, and I dare say we are right now perhaps even the only nation on earth that has transcended all the cultural pathologies that have engulfed the world because of sin, that we have transcended much of that based upon our Judeo-Christian tradition, to risen above all of that and been the single greatest place for affirming human dignity and promoting human flourishing from people of all backgrounds. You know, you hear all this of diversity, equity, inclusion. I tell people all the time, you know what? The United States of America is the most diverse nation in the history of the world. Now, that's a fact. There's no nation on earth more diverse than we are, because we have attracted people from all over the world who have wanted to come here in order to participate in and fulfill the American dream, which they knew is within the reach of ordinary people. You don't have to be wealthy. You don't have to be royalty. You don't have to be, you know, of the elite class, whatever that means. All you have to do is come with a willingness to work, a willingness to make some sacrifices, a willingness to be disciplined, a willingness to be law-abiding, a willingness to treat people the way you want to be treated, a willingness to do your job with a commitment to excellence, whatever that may be. And the fact of the matter is, if you do all that, it's hard to be poor in America. It's hard to be poor in America. Have children within the bonds of marriage, rather than having them far flung all over the place by, you know, a bunch of children out of wedlock. I mean, there are some things that a human being can do in this country to assure that you will be prosperous. No, not everybody's going to be a millionaire or a billionaire, but to assure that you can live a prosperous life. And folks, comparatively speaking to the alternative, it really ain't that hard. I didn't say there aren't hardships, because that comes with the territory of living in a fallen world. But it really is not that hard. Well, I've taken up the whole first segment talking about this, but look, it's always worth reflecting on how grateful we are to God that we are Americans. When we come back, I want to put a few issues before you, and then I'm going to open up the lines in the segment after that. Stand by. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III. We're on the Hamilton Corner. Back in a moment. We'll be right back.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, starting in verse 18, it tells us these words. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." That contains what we call the Great Commission. God calls us to be a disciple and to make disciples. And that's a command God lays before us each and every day. Every day is a day for us to follow Jesus Christ and to be involved in the work of helping and teaching and encouraging others to follow Jesus Christ as well. Ask someone how you can pray for them. Encourage someone to read 3 chapters in the Bible every day. Pray for God to help you to both be a faithful disciple and to make disciples as well.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And this is E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III today. Look, I got a few issues I want to put before you, and I want to get your take on these things. I'm sure, and by the way, just to kind of put this to rest for the moment, I think that we are going to need to be patient with President Trump on the issue of Iran. I am not going to join in with the people who are already beginning to dump on him and dump on our military and dump on the Secretary of War as if they don't know what they're doing. Now, I have to tell you that from my perspective, I think President Trump ought to ignore all the naysayers who are accusing him of war crimes and accusing them of all this kind. I think he's going to ultimately need to drop the hammer on Iran and do it quickly and efficiently and just destroy this regime. Just destroy them. Now, folks, I think that that's what the president is going to be forced to, because I think that these whoever is left of the regime, these people are confirmed fanatics. And I don't think they are ever going to have any rational negotiation that could lead to peace. Unless they're wiped out and others who have a different attitude are brought in. So beyond that, I think the president is being measured. And I think that the president is being patient, maybe perhaps more patient than I would be at the moment. But I think that's what it's ultimately going to take. And he will have to, at some point, he is going to have to deal with this, because the high gas prices and the sort of inflation beginning to creep back in because of high energy prices, because high energy prices, in addition to printing money, high energy prices is one of those things that will drive inflation. For those who are not as of stout a mind as you and I may be, or who lack the fortitude that we may have, I'll tell you, people can be fickle, and people will drop off and say, "Well, you know, I thought I supported him, but because of this, and now he's trying to you know, he's getting us into wars and all this." I mean, these people. You know, I think it was Ben Franklin that said, "Foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds." In other words, all things aren't alike. Iran is not the Vietnam War, and Iran is not Iraq. This is a specific action for a specific purpose, and that purpose is noble, and that purpose is also essential to the survival, frankly, of the United States of America, because, again, folks, we had 3 airplanes bring our country to a standstill for a week. Imagine what a nuclear bomb would do. So I think the president is on the right track. I support him in what he's doing. And I'd say I'd probably be, perhaps even if it were me, I'd be perhaps even more aggressive, because I have absolutely no trust, no confidence that these 12ers, these Shia Muslims who believe in the coming of the 12th Mahdi, who is in hiding, has been in hiding since about the 9th century. Yeah, he's immortal. He's been in hiding since about the 9th century, and he will be revealed in some sort of apocalyptic occurrence on the earth, and will set up a Muslim kingdom in the world. And by the way, they even say, you know, Jesus will be there serving him too. I mean, these people are... So we need to be praying for the president, praying for his wisdom. Okay, I took more time on that than I expected to, but you feel free to comment on that because obviously it's in the news. You all familiar with this guy, Graham Cunningham Platner, who is running for U.S. Senate in Maine. I have to say he's a Marine Corps veteran, but boy, look, they are Marines and they are Marines. But this guy is... I don't know what his chances are, but he obviously has traction at the moment. And this guy has a Nazi tattoo on his chest. The Nazi tattoo is the Totenkopf, which is the death's head that was worn by the SS. And the SS, of course, as you all know, was used by Hitler. They were the death squads. They were the people who were primarily involved in engineering the mass murder, the genocide of the Jewish people, of every Jew in Germany, every Jew in Europe, every Jew in the world, if they could have gotten to that. And yet this guy is a confirmed leftist. And here's what I want to point out. When the left really doesn't want to hear that, Nazism and communism are not two different ideologies. They're the same ideology with two different iterations. Now, folks, I'm not making this up. Now, listen to me very closely. I'm not making this up. All fascism is communism, which is a totalitarian system based upon control of everything and everybody, with a dash of hyper-nationalism added to it that says, unlike the end result of communism, and it's only theoretical, but this is what they say, well, communism will result in no government being necessary. We'll have a worldwide proletariat and there won't be any borders and all that. So basically, communism purports to be a globalist ideology. Fascism purports to be a nationalist ideology, but it really ends up in the same place because the hyper-nationalism is that we, our country, should rule the world with an iron fist. They're two sides of the same coin. They just have a couple of different elements in them. You know, Hitler was a leftist. Hitler was a collectivist. Hitler started in the German Workers' Party, which was a left-wing organization. You know, Nazism and communism, really, the left is busy pointing the finger at you, me, President Trump, and anybody else who is conservative as Nazis. It is the left that is the source and the wellspring of Nazism and fascism. Now, that's a fact. It's not a fact that most people know, and it's not a fact that the left certainly wants to hear, but it is a fact. You know, the wellspring of conservatism grows out of classical economics and Judeo-Christian values, not Nazism or any other far-right ideology. Now, that is also a fact. People who believe in individual liberty, limited government, the importance of personal responsibility for one's own affairs, taking care of one's own family, pursuing one's own gifts and abilities, what is sometimes referred to, I don't know whether Adam Smith is the person who coined the phrase, but the classical capitalist economics, enlightened self-interest. In other words, by doing what is good and best and right for myself, I ultimately help everyone else. So if I build a better mousetrap to catch mice in my own house, and that mousetrap helps your house and your neighbor's house, guess what? I've done something very good not only for myself, I've done something very good for you too. You get the it's a rudimentary example, but you get the point. And that's what freedom does. That's what freedom promotes. We're not associated with Nazism and far right wing nonsense or racism or any of that. That's not part of classical free market Judeo-Christian thinking. And Judeo-Christian thinking and free market thinking are bound and they are hand in hand because both require an acceptance of each human being's right to own their own property, whether that property is real or personal, or real and personal meaning real estate or it's other kinds of personal property, or it's intellectual property, that you have a right to derive the benefit from that which you own. And the government has no right to confiscate it or encroach upon it or control it. That's where our ideology springs from. Theirs springs from communism, Marxism, collectivism. That's why we're seeing so much violence, because those ideologies, knowing that people will rebel against that kind of totalitarian control, those ideologies have violence built into them. Violence is not built into the free market system, because each person engaged in a transaction must be persuaded that this transaction is in his or her best interests. That you don't have to be forced into it at the point of a gun. You do it because you believe it's good for you, and the other person does it because they believe it's good for them. But no, collectivism, communism, fascism, these ideologies, which are very, very all intertwined together, no, they believe in violence because they know people have to be forced to surrender the level of control that they must surrender in order for fascism and communism to work. This guy is a Nazi because he's a leftist. And the two are, again, they are twins. They may not be identical twins, but they're certainly fraternal. And look, this violence, you all, did you hear that yesterday we had another shooting near the White House? I believe that a man was ultimately shot. All this violence erupting, and it's all coming from the left. Because that's their stock in trade, folks. Socialism ends at the point of a gun. It might begin with the promise of utopia, but it ends at the point of a gun. Did you hear about this candidate who ran against Fetterman in Pennsylvania? He's been arrested for threats of violence against the president and other officials. I mean, this guy was a legitimate candidate, of course, a Democrat. Raymond Eugene Chandler III. He's been arrested for threats of violence against the president of the United States and others. Because, again, that's where they must ultimately go. Because human beings, for the most part, unless they are just so thoroughly indoctrinated that they surrender their own free will, normal human beings, thinking normally, do not surrender their sovereignty. They do not surrender their freedom of will, their freedom of choice. They don't do it. And when you have an ideology that demands that an entire society surrender each person's individual liberty and freedom and choice and will to the state, you're going to inevitably have people who say no. And because this cult-like state that collectivism and communism and fascism produce cannot brook dissent, you ultimately have to kill the people who get in the way. unlike those of us who are freedom loving, we believe in dissent. We may not always like the dissenters or what they're saying, but we believe in their right to dissent. Because we think that in the end, no matter how ridiculous they might be, that makes the society healthier. People get to debate, they get to discuss, they get to examine, to analyze, to think through issues. That's not what collectivism wants. Collectivism wants your blind obedience. They don't want you thinking. They want you obeying. And the violence is intended to intimidate you to do it or else. The other thing I mentioned is, I said yesterday, I am convinced, I said this on my own podcast, you know. By the way, I have a podcast on American Family Radio. It will post tomorrow. It's called The Awakening Podcast, and you can get it on AFR.net. I also have my own podcast that airs every day at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, and you can see that wherever podcasts may be seen. But this guy that was being held in the Fairfax jail on a charge of raping a 13-year-old girl, and everybody was saying, ICE was saying, and others were saying, we hope the governor will not release this guy. We hope that the authorities in Fairfax County will not release this guy, but allow him to be turned over to ICE. He is an illegal alien. He is accused of a heinous crime, a violent crime. They released him. They released him. They put him back on the streets. Now, thank God, ICE caught him. They arrested him, but not by the help of Virginia authorities or Fairfax County authorities. No, no, no. They don't cooperate with ICE. They cooperate with the accused rapist, but not with ICE, because after all, the accused rapist is, I don't know, he's a future citizen. He's a future voter. We know these ICE people, they're terrible. They're criminals. I mean, you know, you have to hate the American people with a passion in order to continue to inflict upon them what the left and the Democrat Party are inflicting. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III. You're on the Hamilton Corner. The number is 888-589-8840. I'll take your calls when we come back. 888-589-8840.
As we watch world events unfold and fulfill Scripture, it's hard to believe anyone could doubt God and His Word are real. And yet there are so many who either question or completely refuse to believe it. The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that hits the doubt head-on with evidence that proves God is real and His Word is the ultimate authority. Watch it anytime and invite others to watch with you. Just visit stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
Today's issues. A man on the street interview of one of the Mamdani voters. Cut 16.
Yeah. What's your favorite example of socialism that's worked?
Man, you put me on the spot. I'm going to have to go Cuba.
Better rethink that choice.
Yeah, that clip shows that there are people who have just as much of a right to vote as people who know what they're talking about.
Today's issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And we're back. I put a few issues on the table. Feel free to raise anything that you choose to raise. The number again is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Jimmy Kimmel's at it again. He's recently made a joke about Rudy Giuliani. The man was some thought on his deathbed, but he seems to be recovering. Thank God. We need to be praying for him. Great patriot. But apparently they just can't get over their obsession, not only with disagreeing with us, but wanting us dead. Now, that's a pretty sad commentary, but they just can't seem to get past that. And that seems to be cannon fodder for their jokes and that just basically the way they approach the world. You know, I always say the left really hates America and they really hate Americans, particularly those of us who are patriotic and love this country, because they don't. They want an America that is remade in their image. And the people who believe in the constitutional republic that our founding fathers gave us, as Ben Franklin said, a republic if you can keep it, we are in their way. President Trump is in their way, and they hate us. So New York tried this. Los Angeles is now trying it. But they want foreigners, including illegal aliens, to be able to vote legally. Now, what does that tell you about what they think of American citizens? Because, of course, if foreigners and illegal aliens can vote, it dilutes your vote and mine. But that's because they don't even like Americans. they don't like us. Not even the ones they're supposed to be serving, who are fundamentally in agreement with them. They don't like us because they want people who they can bring in, who will be shaped by their views and want to help them fulfill their perverse vision for this nation. And they don't have enough Americans to do that. 888-589-8840. Let's go ahead and get to the calls. We've got Randall from Arkansas. Randall, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop. I really appreciate you taking my call, and I'm very concerned about the attacks on our country and our voting rights and everything, but I'm calling today about the attacks on the church and on Jesus, and I'm just wondering if you're familiar with this professor that just retired from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. His name is Bart D. Ehrman. Mm-hmm. And he holds himself up to be a New Testament scholar, and he gets students in front of him and starts to undermine and make them question their faith, and he's done so much damage. I just wondered if you're familiar with him, if you know about him on the East Coast.
I know exactly who you're talking about. Thank you so much for the call, Randall. In fact, I think you might have been the last call yesterday, and we didn't get a chance to get to your question, but I know exactly who you're talking about. There are many like him, by the way, and I encountered them when I was in seminary, when I went to Harvard Divinity School. I didn't finish at Harvard Divinity School, but I did attend, and I encountered professors like this. Now, this particular professor that you are talking about, he is a self-proclaimed atheist and agnostic. He says he was a Christian, but he's since come to a better understanding, and he's no longer that. And he does not believe that Jesus Christ was God come in the flesh. He does not believe he's the savior of the world. He simply believes that Jesus Christ was a prophet of some kind. So this man is completely off the rails. And you are right. When people like this, under a mantle of authority, and the imprimatur of a major university get kids in there and start telling them this garbage, they ruin people. Now, I'll just give you all one quick anecdote, and then I'm going to come right back to the lines. When I was at Harvard Divinity School, I had a professor of New Testament, and he taught something I'll never forget. He said, some of you have heard that God is all-powerful, God is almighty, and all that. He said, but that's not true. He said that's easily provable by the experiences that people have. He said, and this was the analogy he gave me. Now, I'm a new Christian, okay? I'm a brand new Christian, pretty much. And he says, no, God is like a poor father who loves his children and wants to do anything he can for them, but he just doesn't have the resources to do it. And so he can't give that child a new pair of shoes as much as he'd like to, because he just doesn't have the ability. But the most important thing is that he loves those children in spite of the fact that he can't do much as much for them as he'd like to do. I mean, that was his view of God. I later came to find out this professor was a homosexual. I didn't know that at the time. But these people are just their tools of the devil. And it's really just that plain and simple. And the best thing to do is just let Jesus be his own commentator and believe what the word of God says. And we've got to be unequivocal about denouncing this stuff whenever people are exposed to it. Thank you for the call, Randall. Let's go to Jeff in Missouri. Jeff, welcome.
Welcome. I love your program. I've got three quick points, then I'll get off and let you say what okay. you think about them. First point is, during Obama's term, I was speaking with a person from Germany, and they said, why are all the Americans so stupid? I said, oh, I don't know. They said, well, they're calling all the Republicans Nazis when German Nazi is not national Z yep. socialist. And Hitler was a Nazi, and so is Obama. I said, wow. Point number two, what would they want Trump to do? Wait until they destroyed four or five American cities with the nukes they were trying to get? Then all they would be all like, oh, you let our friends all die, and you didn't do anything. So point being taken, Mr. Trump needs to realize no matter what he does, defending American will never be right with these people. Point number three is there's lots of there's lots of people that if you are trying to help America, they hate you.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of people that I've talked to a lot of them, and I've talked them into being Republicans because I told them, I said, look, remember the Night of the Long Knives when Hitler used the SS troops to get rid of the brown shirts that used to beat up all his hecklers before he got elected.
Jeff, thank you, Jeff. Thank you. Three great points. And what can I say? I agree with every single one of them. I think that Barack Obama is definitely a socialist. I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever about that. So your points are very, very well taken. Let's get right back to the calls. Let's go to Luke in, I think that's Texas. Luke, welcome.
Yes, sir. Hey, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Going back to the comments you were making earlier, the liberal media and our liberal left always seem to find it okay to make threats. I'm thinking the comedian mm-hmm. who held President Trump's beheaded, holding his head up.
Yep, Kathy Griffith, yep.
Yeah, 86 President Trump. You had a politician in Virginia who said he dreamed about, killing his opponents and, peeing on their graves.
Jay Jones.
And I think about the one event while Obama was president, a rodeo clown put on a head mask, or what do you want to call it, of Obama, and our media went ballistic. That was so horrible and so terrible, but it seems to be completely perfect to have threatening negative comments about conservative politicians or conservative people, same as Charlie Kirk, but never, never say anything or make a negative comment anyway against the leftists. But that's my comment.
Yeah. Luke, again, you're talking about the utter bias of the media. And again, you wonder, do they know that they're biased? Because they sometimes act like they think they're somehow neutral, excuse me, and just reporting the facts. Thank you for the call, Luke. I was on a show with Victoria Jackson. You all may remember Victoria Jackson because she used to be on a Saturday Night Live. She got saved, got kicked off Saturday Night Live ultimately, and started her own program. This was 10-15 years ago. I was on her program, and we got to talk about Barack Obama. And she said, well, Barack Obama says he's a Christian. And I said, the claim that Barack Obama is a Christian, I said, is laughable. You would have thought that I had threatened the man with a hatchet. I'm serious. The media came after me. Who do you think you are questioning Barack Obama's faith? Now, these people don't even like Christianity. But suddenly, you know, and so you're right. Even that was just, I mean, that was considered over the top. How dare he say such a thing? Well, I'm absolutely right. I mean, there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever that Barack Obama is a Christian. I mean, who are we kidding? 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's go to Kenneth, also in Texas. Kenneth, welcome.
Good afternoon, Bishop. I'm gonna whiz through this and let you comment on it. Number one, is the war of Ezekiel 38 and 39, which I think is right around the corner, that is different from the war of the Battle of Armageddon. Is that correct? And is if my reading of Ezekiel 38 and 39 is correct, only God himself will step in to save Israel, meaning we will not be there as Israel's ally. My theory is that we will either one of two things or both be too tied up in our own civil conflict, call it what you want, civil war, and or we will have lost the will to help Israel. And considering that the there's a growing evangelical movement getting away from Israel and into replacement theology, yeah, I think it's altogether possible. I'll let you comment.
Wow. Kenneth, thank you so much for the call. Well, look, I won't get into the details on the theology of Ezekiel 38 and 39, but I think it's a general principle. I believe that when the Jews face their most ardent opponents at the very end of the age, the people who have come together to destroy them, we will not be there for them because the church will have been raptured. I think when the church age ends with the rapture, that is when the devil will turn all of his firepower on the Jewish people, and they will be on their own except for the people who get saved during the Great Tribulation. Now, that's my reading of it. And of course, you know, I don't want to get off into that whole theological debate about the rapture and all of that. But yeah, that is my reading of it. I think as long as we're on earth, Bible-believing Christians are going to continue to stand with and support Israel. 888-589-8840. I don't have a whole lot of time, but I could get one more call in if somebody wants to be the stout person who can get your comments in quickly. But in the meantime, we've got Stan of Indiana. Stan, welcome.
Hello, Bishop.
Hi, Stan.
Well, I believe that President Trump should be the president, no matter what, even if this war in Iran lingers, because who else would be the better man than the president? Because if we get those Democrats, and they're liable to take us out, they're liable to take us out and hang us to dry because they hate President Trump.
Yeah. Stan, thank you so much for the call. I think you were breaking up a little bit there, but I appreciate the call. Look, folks, I said at the beginning of the program, I think President Trump is ultimately going to have to just annihilate this regime, because I just don't think these people are rational. And I think you are absolutely right. A caller earlier said, I mean, what do people want? They want to wait until they've launched two or three nuclear weapons at us. And if anybody doubts that they will do that, I don't know what you're looking at. Because I mean, they've said it repeatedly. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And they said repeatedly, America's the great Satan. America must be destroyed. Death to America. Death to America. I mean, they've chanted it over and over and over. Does anybody doubt that if they have the weaponry to do that, they would use it? All right, well, that's going to do it for tonight. But look, I'll be back tomorrow. So in the meantime, you know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.